A new focus on safety at work as the new administration in Washington takes on COVID. I'm David Brancaccio. President Biden has ordered the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, that's OSHA, tighten up rules for keeping workers safe from coronavirus. The order will also require OSHA to step up enforcement to increase the chances that rules are followed. Marketplace's Justin Ho reports.
Employers can play a big role in helping to curb the transmission of COVID-19, says David Michaels, a professor at George Washington University's School of Public Health and the former head of OSHA during the Obama administration. He says workplaces can be risky.
That's the place to stop the exposures from occurring because people do have to go to work.
Michaels says stronger enforcement won't mean inspectors are going to start flooding offices and work sites across the country. But more enforcement could help send a message.
Saying, look, if we inspect and we find that you weren't protecting your workers, we could fine you tens of thousands of dollars. And that changes the behavior of many employers.
OSHA has already issued COVID safety recommendations, and some states have their own rules. Rebecca Rindell is safety and health director at the AFL-CIO.
Many employers operate in many different states. This would be one set of requirements they would follow anywhere.
Under the order, OSHA has to come up with its revised guidance within 2 weeks. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
After the S&P 500 hit a new all-time high yesterday, there's some retrenchment this morning. The S&P is down 0.3%. The Dow is down 183.6%. The NASDAQ is little changed, I have to call that now. But there's also some rethinking of just how much stimulus the new Congress can actually pass, with the Biden administration asking for something in the $1.8 trillion range. Let's bring in Drew Mattis, chief market strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Hi there.
Hi, David.
Are you noticing a little bit of a reappraisal of just how much new economic stimulus we're going to get now that the Biden administration's in power? There seemed to be quite a bit of pushback from Republicans in Washington yesterday.
Well, I think like any stimulus package, you know, there's going to be a debate about how much is appropriate and how much is needed. I think we're going to end up with a pretty sizable package that'll contribute a pretty good amount to 2021 growth.
And people who have to make spending decisions in our own households will be looking to see just where we're going with that to figure out, okay, is recovery going to happen sooner or later? Next week, what? A consumer confidence reading for January will come out.
It will, and it'll be important because it's going to tell us a lot about how people feel about everything from, you know, the job market to vaccination administration to, you know, the prospects for stimulus. You know, how dependent are people on that next package getting pushed through? And so it's going to be a mix of everything all at once and could give us a good insight into how consumers are going to spend their money over the next couple of months.
Drew Mattis, chief market strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
President Joe Biden, in his first full day in office, ordered the Agriculture Department to increase supplemental food assistance, that's SNAP, by 15%. That's also what we used to call food stamps, right? Pandemic has driven so many people to food banks for the first time. Cities, suburbs, rural areas. For many people in rural areas, just getting to a food bank can be a challenge. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
Rebecca Lane is lucky. Her kids, who are 6 and 10, love vegetables.
My son literally eats carrots by the bags. He just grabs one and eats.
But there have been times Lane couldn't get them.
That was, you know, 99 cents for a bag of carrots, but I couldn't get to the store or I didn't have the funds to be able to stretch it.
Lane is 38, and for most of the pandemic, she and her kids were living in rural Maine, half an hour from the nearest grocery store.
When money's not tight, that's not a bad trip. But, you know, when you have $5 to get you through for extra funds and that gets you gas for the month, you can't always go to the grocery store every week.
Just getting to a grocery store or food bank can be a major barrier to getting enough to eat for a lot of low-income people in rural areas.
They have to plan out their shopping trips based on their income, receipt of benefits, transportation issues, and work schedules. And so they're juggling all of those factors.
Lori Andrus is a public health professor at West Virginia University and says that's always been true.
But we know for a fact that COVID just made food harder to get, especially for rural populations.
And especially after schools shut down and kids were no longer getting free breakfast and lunch at school. Early on in the pandemic, food banks and pantries in rural areas realized they had to figure out how to bring food to people.
We need to make sure we're reaching all those far-flung areas.
Kristen Maley runs the Good Shepherd Food Bank in Maine, which partners with hundreds of local food pantries and nonprofits across the state. She says before COVID,
our partners have said, you know, I don't think we could do home delivery. We can go through the list of challenges with doing home delivery. COVID forced people to move to home delivery.
Maley says the pandemic has also made the public much more aware of hunger as an issue.
And that's really translated to increase in donations across the board for our network.
She says the influx of money has allowed many organizations to buy and distribute more food in more places. Rebecca Lane says her local food bank in Maine
switched from a monthly to if you need food, come see us situation during the pandemic.
It's giving out more food and more of it's fresh. Maley at Good Shepherd Food Bank says that and home deliveries are two things that have come out of the pandemic that she hopes won't go away. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And a strange story out of Intel Corporation, the chipmaker. It released its quarterly results early after it said hackers got some of that data early. Despite fourth quarter sales and profits beating expectations, Intel stock is down nearly 4% right now. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.